Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Cruising around, listening to My Chemical Romance, just screaming that at the top of our lungs.
All right, Patrick, we made it through one Suburbs Fest already this year. This year,
yes, we did.
We're double dipping, two doses of rock and roll fun. We did a Suburbs Fest in the Chicago area recently, and now we're going to do a second one back here at home base in the D.C. area.
Mm-hmm.
This show is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And so this will be the second of 2022 and the third overall, because we did one last year in D.C.
Yeah.
And this will be September 29, 30, and October 1 for people who want to come out and join us, and we'll get into the details here a little bit later, but I bring this all up because the guest we have today, Evan Bijou, he was at last year's Suburbs Fest, and he's an amazing musician in his own right, and so this year he's like on the bill. He's like a featured performer.
It's going to be awesome. It really, yes. Really is. So, what I'm excited about too, Jim, is that the last night we're going to kick off Rocktober. I mean, what better way to kick off Rocktober than with a concert?
That's absolutely right.
It's gonna be great.
So let's welcome Evan to the show. Hey, Evan.
Hey, good morning, Jim. Good morning, Pat. How are you guys?
Good to talk to you.
It's good to hear from you.
So, as we've done with the last fest, we like to have the performers on come on and talk a little bit about their music and what they're into. And as I mentioned last year, you came down here, just one of the guys, right? Just hanging out with all of us. And I know you played a little bit at the live Hootenanny that we had the first night, but this year you're going to play a lot more. But what was your experience like last year? If you can just kind of talk this up for people who might want to attend.
Last year was a blast. Honestly, we got down there and, it was fun just like walking through the brewery. I'm like, all right, I'm not sure like who's going to be here necessarily, but we got out to the back where the open mic was set up and everybody had on little name tags. So it was very like, it had like this mixer feel to it, and I was like, oh yeah, like these are all the folks that I've seen on Zoom all this time. And it was nice to actually see some real humans for once,
because that was the pandemic time, right?
Yeah, so it was the pandemic time, and then that was like the first time I'd actually like really been around and seen the folks at
me
all
too.
I drove down with Mike Coley of Mike Coley fame. And it was just a blast. It was really a lot of fun.
That was so great. And you got to know us a little bit before then through the Friday night Hootenannies that we would do on Zoom.
Yeah.
Which is really what led to, sort of the creation of Suburbs Fest, like get everybody together. Because we kind of feel, like we know each other now, right? So you were part of that. And, so you kind of had some familiarity with people already and so on, but I want to tell people you don't have to. If you can just come out and hang with us and you'll be familiar by the end of the night.
Yeah,
so you don't have to have that experience ahead of time, but what all did you do that weekend? What did you get to do?
Oh, well, that weekend, I mean, I remember driving around with Mike a lot, and we listened to just a lot of music. There was there was an instance when myself and Mike and Eric, who is another one of the Suburbs podcast performers, the Hootenanny performer.
Eric Didrikson.
We were just cruising around listening to My Chemical Romance, is an album, Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge, and just screaming that at the top of our lungs. It was just funny because it's just like I've never had a chance to hang out with, I've hung out with Mike before, but not like this. And now it's like Eric is – somebody I would have never met if it hadn't have been for that. And we were just, it was a great experience. It was a lot of fun bringing all of those folks together.
That's cool. So your band is called Late Earth, and you'll be playing night three. That's October 1st at the American Legion in Silver Spring, Maryland, for anybody who wants to come on out. And Patrick's band, Wingtip Slope, will also be on that bill, as will a couple of other performers. It's going to be a lot of fun. And,
Love Wingtip Slope.
That's a free show. People can just come out. But Tell us a little bit about Late Earth, and I want to ask about a specific song a little bit later, but tell us a little bit about Late Earth. You know, what is the sort of origin of that project?
Late Earth started in 2013 while I was going to grad school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. It's been around for a while. And Late Earth was actually the name of my my project for grad school. I was creating a comic book, and that's where that comes from. And then just kind of have, you know, held on and reformed and reshaped over the years, just making music and shouting about it.
Well, what's your musical background? Like, how did you get started music in general, and what are you interested in, and what's your vision with this project?
So I started playing when I was 14. So that, if my math is correct, I've been playing guitar for about 19 years now. And started playing shows really when I was 16. I was just like, you know, little underground venues that would have us. You know, we were kind of eager to do that, and that's just kind of, you know, since then I've been writing and playing, and you know, just it's been a long process of kind of taking, you know how musicians are. We take our thoughts and feelings over the years, and we kind of try to reshape and form them into something constructive, and that's really what's just kept me going this whole time. As far as Late Earth goes, like, the hope is just to keep on playing and keep on making music that's driving and entertaining to me. That's really where a lot of the writing comes from, is just like, what is, you know, what's the music that I want to hear? What's the music that I, when I do hear it, I think, like, this is really inspiring to me, or this is what I really enjoy. And that's where a lot of it comes from. And the fact that other people have, you know, attached to that and really enjoyed that is a kind of a perk, I guess. Cause I had my father asked me the same question. He's just like, you know, where's your inspiration come from? And it's just like, you know, at the time, however I'm feeling. And then that comes out in the music, and that's where it is.
Okay.
Nebulous answer, right?
Yeah, no.
It's just what I feel, man.
So it sounds, I think what you're saying is it sounds like My Chemical Romance.
It's so funny. They are,
it's in there somewhere.
I used to listen to them a lot in high school. They're getting a lot of play on this podcast interview right now. I'm gonna actually go see them on the 30th for the first time.
Wow.
So like the middle schooler in me is like, oh my god, yeah, this is crazy. Yeah. But yeah, like a lot of, you know, inspiration coming from groups like that. Like I used to listen to a lot of Sum 41 in high school, NoFX, Goldfinger, Alkaline Trio, Coheed and Cambria, Streetlight Manifesto, stuff that's like fast and kind of energetic and technical, but not too technical. A lot of those songs they have three or four chords. That's like,
yep,
the meat and potatoes of what it is that I make. Mostly everything is in E minor. So, but like, you know, I can't look over like old classic stuff like Jimi Hendrix and Creedence and like Blue Oyster Cult and Blues Traveler and things like that. Those are my folks raised me right. I don't want to leave off any of the like old school stuff, because it does come from that too. My folks have a really good taste in music.
Evan, I was listening to some of your stuff yesterday on Bandcamp, which you guys can go to lateearth.bandcamp.com and find some stuff there that and you can talk about that too, Evan. But I was struck again by the first impression I had when you first played on the Hootenanny, that your songs feel like they're coiled up, like there's a lot of stuff that goes into it, yet they're pretty compact. I mean, these are not 7 or 8 minute, you know, Yes epics or anything like that. But they feel like really kind of coiled and like they spring out at you. So I got to ask, how do you put a song together? Like, I would guess, if I'm just guessing, that the words come first, but maybe not. I'm very curious to hear your answer about how typically a song will come together for you and for Late Earth.
So for me, a lot of that coil, it's interesting that you should say that, because a lot of that coiledness comes from playing as just solo acoustic artist. And so, you know, I've had bands over the years, and there was like a point in undergrad where it was like I had a ska band, we had like a 7-piece, and then I had like an experimental 8-bit rock group, and we had like four. That was really neat. But like, you know, people's schedules or people's lives kind of take over and they go in and out and groups dissolve. And so I had a friend at the time be like, you know, why don't you just do solo stuff for now? Just do that for a little bit and see how that goes. And then, you know, you'll find a band. And I was like, you know, that's actually a really good point. So when I started to do that, I started to write more densely, because when you're playing an acoustic guitar, you only have the one instrument voice.
Right.
And then the lyrics, you know, can sit on top of that. And so it was easy for me to make a lot of enjambed. I won't say it was easy, but like, it, you know, it's easy for me to put that number of lyrics on top of something that's, you know, just a guitar, so that then when, you know, say like Headcase, for example, is very fast. When you have the full band behind it, we actually run the risk of it kind of sounding muddy, because, you know, I'm playing real fast, the drummer's playing real fast, and everybody's playing loud, and like it's just me on the microphone, like, blah, 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 blah. Like you can sometimes barely hear what's going on. So that coiled sound is actually coming from the fact that those songs were written for just an acoustic guitar and a single voice. Answer the second half is like how do I write a song is it's kind of I take like a little seed of what could be a song, so whether it be like, you know, turn of phrase or a riff that I think is cool or something, or like I'll hear another song that kind of like sparks my interest, like, oh, I like the feeling of that. And so it can start anywhere, and then just through an editing process and just sitting and playing something over and over and over again, I'll edit it down until it's, you know, sharp, like the, you know, I don't need this extra word, you know, throw that out kind of thing. And that's where that coiled sound kind of comes from too.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I can totally relate to that, because speaking of Wingtip Slope, when we first started, we actually were a 4-piece and we had another guitar player who was very, very good. And I was, you know, probably as good as I am 20 years later. I still know like 4 chords. And but when suddenly he left the band and it was just me playing guitar, suddenly I realized, oh my God, I've got to do a whole lot more, you know, than I was actually doing. Like, I've got to cover so much more space. So I can totally relate to that, getting up there with just your guitar and making it sound full and rhythmic all at the same time. But yeah, I'm really excited to hear the songs you choose and what you present coming up in October, because just going back and refamiliarizing myself with some of the stuff that's out there. How do you feel about there's what, like three EPs kind of that are out on Bandcamp, is that right?
So we have two EPs. There was the first one that we had released called The Prevail.
Yep.
And then there's the self-titled album. That's like the full album itself. And then there's an EP called The 11th Hour. And
right.
It has four tracks on it. So yeah, there's two EPs and one full album.
One full album. Okay. So the full album is self-titled. Got
yes.
it. Right.
Yep.
I was listening to that yesterday as well. Yeah.
That's where all those view counts are coming from on Facebook. It keeps popping up. It's just like, oh, I should have known it was Patrick Foster.
That's right. Scanning all the tracks, making mad notes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, are all these songs in your current repertoire or kind of where are you now? Have you written new stuff since 2019, 2020?
Yeah. I mean, well, you guys are actually probably witness to a lot of the newer stuff that's come out because I was writing that in isolation and
yep.
the Hootenanny was my only outlet for that. So you guys actually have a lot of the preliminary, honestly, the first recordings of the songs that I had created.
Wow,
I would just
sweet.
Kind of like come out of the woodwork and be like, this is something that I wrote, you know, and then play it once, and then I actually haven't had a chance to play it out again. So there's some stuff that like I wrote that I didn't continue to play, and so mm-hmm. I would actually ask you guys if we could get those recordings and be like, can I listen
sure.
to those and hear how that actually
yeah.
goes? So yes,
absolutely.
But to truly answer your question, yeah, I'm sitting on like a full album's worth of content.
Nice.
A good chunk of those songs you guys have heard, some of them you have not, and we might roll out some of those when I see you guys in October.
Great.
Yeah,
very cool.
That's great. I just want to say something about the style of the late Earth songs, like you were mentioning, Patrick, and how they're, you know, they're kind of fast and dense, and there's
yeah.
a lot in there, right? And it kind of jumps out at you. I think two things. One is probably Evan is influenced by caffeine. Maybe that's one thing, right?
Yes, I said as I sip my coffee.
Yeah. So there's that, and then the other thing too is for the listeners. You know, when you're going to play some late Earth songs, you know, on Bandcamp or if you're coming out the show or whatever, ahead of time. This is a tip ahead of time. Take a nap.
That's right. It helps.
Then you're ready to go, right?
A lot of folks are like, how do you, like, it's so fast. Like, how do you do that? And it's just like, there's actually some of the songs are written in such a way where there are planned spaces to breathe
mm-hmm.
in between words or lyrics or whatever. Like, there's a spot where you can surface just very briefly to take a real quick breath and then. So, you know, you want to make sure you don't have a mouthful of spit when you're doing it because you'll get it caught in your lung, and then that's happened before.
So
yeah,
I would
imagine from your perspective, yeah, that's also something important to remember. Where
yeah.
can I breathe while
yeah,
I'm singing it?
I
yeah.
breathe?
I don't know what to say to you when all I feel is everything falls apart. Don't want to wager on alone with a fractured mind. Make me an offer I can't refuse. Dollar signs and blue suede shoes. Promise me that it's all more than nickels and dimes. Promise me that I'm the man for the job with a Ford or sedan and a two-car garage. You're just another run-of-the-mill six-figure snob, that's all.
Thanks for listening to Rockin' the Suburbs. Make sure to tune in tomorrow to hear the second part of our interview with Evan Bijou from Late Earth. This is Patrick Foster. On behalf of Jim Linehan, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
It's just what I feel, man.